It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We're trying. 4 o'clock hours here. Welcome in Reno. ESPN Reno. Hours brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400. Got to dial 775 in the north. Office is in Reno and Henderson. Vegas, downtown Las Vegas. When I said we're trying, every time we get Kevin Kruger on, we're like, come on, non-con schedule. Want to see who you guys are playing, who the Run Rebels playing, what's exciting on the schedule. And, yeah, it sounds like there was a switcheroo with they're going to play in a tournament. I also think they've moved the dates, but there's just no point in pounding them about what's going on in this Arizona tournament. They're going to be playing in Glendale at the old Coyotes Arena. And the field is Northwestern, Mississippi State, Butler. Coach just told us he thought they were going to face Butler, which would have been intriguing because I think they did a lot of work to get a kid named Finley Bizjack to transfer. He decided to go back to Butler. Latest reports are that they may be opening with Mississippi State out of the SEC. So all three programs are good programs. All three have hopes to go to the NCAA tournament, so they're quality games. So looks like it might be Mississippi State instead of Butler. And then beyond that, rumors of what I've seen, you know, it's pretty aggressive. And then they got some interesting spots again. The rodeo kicks them out of the building, so we'll see who they have scheduled there. I don't know if they're going to be lined up. There was word at one point that Dayton game a year ago on the road was going to be rescheduled for this year. They have to play it.
Yes.
Eventually.
I believe I've seen that it was rescheduled for this year, so.
We'll find out soon.
Yeah.
We'll find out soon. Danny Smythe, that's the voice you hear from the press box, is in with us. We're going to get some football into the, I guess, the middle of the hour now. I don't know. We're moving stuff around, different bookings. Today's a little bit crazy, but we know right now it's Big Four time. Let's do it.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Let's just play this first cut. Baseball coach, Texas A&M, someone's asking him about future job. Is he secure in this job? This is Jim Schloss. I knew I was going to screw it up, and he was here. Schlossnagel.
I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again.
So, yeah, Schlossnagel, who is a former UNLV baseball coach, was asked after a loss, are you staying? It's pretty selfish of you to ask that. And then he says, I'm staying, right? I'm going to be here.
Right.
Can you play it again? There's been coaches in the past who left a little window. Was that definitive at the end? Play it again? One?
I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again.
He goes on from there to say this, which actually flies in the face of the person being selfish.
And that hasn't changed in my mind. And that's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. It's right that.
There he is, the voice of Texas coach Jim Schlossnagel. He's at Texas now.
It's ridiculous.
What was the dog and pony show for? And by the way, he's calling a reporter selfish for asking the question. 11 seconds later, I understand you got to ask a question. Well, then how am I being selfish?
It's so terrible the way that he reacted. And obviously this wasn't done overnight. They lost on Monday. He had the job by Tuesday. It wasn't done overnight.
What was the point of that? There's a lot of Texas people, like longtime reporters, who is John McClain, who lit him up.
Yeah.
Was like, you need to apologize to this person.
Right, and like, he ended up apologizing today, but it's just ridiculous. Like, you know, the media's got a job. You understand that there's going to come questions that you don't want to answer. But to answer it like that, saying, I took this job to never take another job again, you're telling everybody in the room and anybody who's watching, I'm here to stay at Texas A&M for life. Just admit that you are taking another job. The season's over.
Or you don't have to admit it and answer it deftly without trying to insult the person or act like you're insulted.
But to say that you left your family behind for this job, it almost sounded like he got a divorce because he went to go coach at A&M.
Number three.
As we evolve and progress, are the leagues done with this fear of weed usage with athletes? What's the latest news on this?
So, just recently, the NCAA has removed cannabis from their banned drugs for championship and postseason football. Schools can still do their own drug testing, but the NCAA has removed it from their banned list. And now if the schools choose to test for it, they can test for it. If not, they don't.
Which, you're an old soul. You get offended very easily. I don't think you're a weed guy. Are you mad?
No, not at all. I approve of this message, and I think that every league should do the same. Why is this?
Are you doing a political ad?
No, seriously. Like, why is this a banned substance?
I approve this message.
Like, it doesn't. The only time, and I've had this conversation with a few people, the only time marijuana is ever some sort of enhancement is if you're doing a food challenge. And even then, I don't know how much of an enhancement it is. Although, you do get hungrier. It's not going to help in football perform better. It's
kicker?
Ridiculous.
You're more chilled out as a kicker?
No, that's fine.
But maybe
calm
your leg
nerves.
Action comes through, you're like real slow.
Yeah, you calm the nerves, it's fine.
Yeah, performance depressor.
Eh, you move slower. It's okay.
Number two.
Can we get more Pac-2 fans / social media people projecting what the new Pac-10 or Pac-12 is going to look like? The latest version is a site that covers Washington State, saying the Pac-2 is rumored to expand to 8 teams. Washington State, Oregon State at the hub, then San Diego State, Boise State, Fresno State, Memphis, Tulane, and UNLV. I don't get why we're doing this. The clicks are good. What did Reddit call it the other day? This person is engagement farming.
Yeah.
This person is engagement farming. Do you think there's actually going to be a Pac-10 or 12 at some point?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
What leverage do they have to not join another conference and instead make people join their conference? Like, they're just so keen on holding on to that Pac title. Mm-hmm. Why?
They have a war chest of money. So that's a good thing, but they don't have any sort of exclusivity or a bid to the playoff. So that's out the window. I mean, I think part of it is there's a little extra arrogance because they were on the dance floor.
And that's fine, and everyone left you.
But I believe, and maybe I'm getting crazy over this, I do believe that football is going to be a separate deal. Now, this right here, if it was for the rest of the sports, including basketball, men's basketball, women's basketball, other Olympic sports, okay, there might be a Pac-12, right? I don't really understand the desire in terms of the regional matchup. Memphis and Tulane, okay, you want, three time zones in a conference. But I do believe the idea that's been thrown out there about a big 80 for football, that there's 80 programs that are in and there could be relegation up and down, especially from in the 60s, team could go down to the 70s, and then teams could get bounced out of the Big 80, and teams could move up in. I actually think that concept is something they're going to go with, and they're going to have football, conference, and then subdivisions.
Right.
And then we may see more traditional conferences again for all the other sports. I think that's more of a reality than the Pac-12 or Pac-10 reestablishing itself as a Power 5. Because I know I'm going long. I don't believe the SEC or the Big Ten will allow that. They're like, no, don't bother.
No.
Have you guys talked about on the press box at all? Have you seen the Big 80? the concept?
Yeah, we talked about it when it first came out. What was that, a month ago or so? Maybe a little longer. But I think that would be interesting. It would be fun to see all the movement and imagine trying to track that from year to year.
The rush the next, like, 3 years before it's formed to make sure you're in good standing from a football standpoint and that you're attractive.
Yep.
Which is why, by the way, do some research on Tulane. Great academic institution. Has mostly sucked at football until a recent run. But guess what? UNLV hasn't been good at football. So I guess if those are the rules, then hoorah! Two or three good years. But I will say this again to the people in Reno, and I know people here in Vegas are like, shut up, Cofield! Reno needs to be included in these plans where schools have a chance to get into the playoff. That's not fair to leave them behind. And honestly, I don't give a rat's ass about Tulane. And I don't believe it has more merit football-wise than the Wolfpack program does.
And if you think NIL affected the transfer portal now, imagine when there's relegation.
Yeah.
If a team drops down and they have a handful of really good high-level talent, they're going to jump ship and try and get in one of the schools that are in the higher ones.
Is that a bad thing?
Not for them.
Kids are gonna go down who don't play from the 60 to 70, 70, 80 range. It's happening now.
Yeah.
Look at what UNLV is doing. Look at what the whole Mountain West Conference is taking guys from supposed programs or supposed higher level programs. They're starting to work it out. It's not the most pleasant thing, but there's aggressive recruiting with kids going laterally, up, down.
Yeah.
If you do your job, and it's your football coaching staff has a year-round duty to be paying attention about what's inside the program and outside the program. It's all the time. But if you do the work, I think you can succeed.
Number one.
Oh, boy. Aces are back on the floor on Thursday. Nice extended period off here. Had the Commissioner's Cup last night. They didn't play in it. They missed out. Lynx, Liberty. Asia Wilson is miffed. She sent out a tweet today and blocked an all-female sports site/handle. The issue? This video talking about Asia's Nike logo.
Asia Wilson's signature shoe logo. Do we like it?
It looks like a vertebrae. It looks like it should be in your spine. That literally, this is like L5 or something. Like, I am just going to throw that out there.
What is it? She drew a star in the A of her signature, which is accentuated in her logo in an energetic and playful way.
I actually think that's great content because we talked about this on Monday, Nye Zaragoza and I hadn't looked into what the logo was, and we were like, we're confused. We don't know what it is. It doesn't look super attractive. Banned! Sorry, I'm blocked now. I can't believe I did that. Wait, we're going to block people for this? Come on. Asia sent out on a tweet, I get people are going to have their opinions and think pieces, and that's all fine and dandy. It's all a part of it. But this is lame, and it comes from a site that's supposed to be for us. There's so much in there that's distressing and also contradictory. It's fine, but this is lame. Because what? They questioned the look of your logo and they're supposed to be for us? Come on now. It's not all going to be good coverage all the time.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We'll follow up on the Big Four at four. More than a few topics we need to follow up on, including Asia Wilson going at it with a women's sports Twitter account. We'll get back to that ASAP. Real quick, because I want to hit the angle that I was mentioning about Nevada should be included.
Mm-hmm.
So let's build on that in a couple of minutes. So halfway point of the show, yesterday really sucked, and really it's been like a year of suckitude. We found out, if you're on social media, that our buddy – longtime host on ESPN Las Vegas, Dave Koken, is not doing well health-wise. We can send out the links to his tweet and his Facebook message. And, you know, I did a show with Dave for like 4 years, but I was around Dave back in the mid-90s when he was working at Sports Fan Radio Network. And I really want to take some time over the next week or so to talk about Dave Koken, because he's got a whole area where he's a freaking national legend on the gambling front. But I know him very much as a sports talk radio host, and I love sports talk radio. And I don't think he's gotten the due over the years for how good he is. And Howard Balzer is a guy who actually started with Dave on Sports Fan Radio Network. I think he did you know, some of Dave's first shows on that network. I was there from like 96 to 2001 before they closed up. And Howard's great on the NFL, 40-plus years covering the NFL. He's down in Arizona. He gives us a couple minutes here on this Wednesday. Howard, how are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well, Steve. Thanks for having me on, and certainly not doing as well as would have if not had seen all that, you know, all that Dave put out there yesterday. But seeing the response is just phenomenal with all the people, you know, commenting. It's pretty remarkable, really.
Isn't that incredible? I had texted him and I was like, dude, I hope you have a good understanding of the legacy you've set. To see that many well-wishers, I was blown away. It was incredible.
Yeah, it really was. And you referenced Sports Fan Radio Network, and I was there basically at its birth when it went on the air. They had had a show that was kind of separate, but then they created the network in January of 1994. And I'd been in St. Louis and had this, you know, opportunity to come out to Vegas. It just came up kind of out of nowhere, really. And I'd been in St. Louis all those years. And in the fall of 93, everyone thought St. Louis was going to get an expansion team, and they didn't. And so when that happened, it was kind of, you know, kind of a real tough time. And then all of a sudden this offer came along, and I said, why not? So came out to Vegas in January 94 and started doing this evening show. And we started having Dave on as a guest quite often on the show we were doing. And then at one point, when my original co-host, the guy named Jeff Nathanson, he's from Los Angeles, he was my co-host. And then I forget exactly when it was that he left. And they put Dave in with me to be a co-host for quite a while. And then when they had another guy, I would work with about three or four different people. And so had a lot of fun with him. And it's funny, when they brought in another co-host, I said to the operator, I said, why do you need someone else? Dave and I love what we're doing. Yeah, yeah. I think it's a great show. And everyone liked it. So why don't you just keep it? But, you know, they wanted to go with someone who, quote, was more of a broadcaster.
What?
But we still, of course, had Dave on, you know, quite frequently. And we go out, you know, a lot of people from the network go out at night. In fact, what I did yesterday, you might get a kick out of this. I have a picture, a framed photo of me and Dave with Cookie Jar.
Yeah!
Because we would, like, every Friday night, it was like the thing that we all did after a week, you know, after the week of work. We'd go out Friday night, and we'd go find Cookie Jar at the Flamingo. Well, the Continental, that was it.
Continental.
The Continental. And I got to know him. I mean, I got to know Cookie, and so I have this photo, and Cookie autographed it. And so I took a photo of it yesterday and texted it to Dave, and I said, I hope this brings a little bit of a smile to your face. And he told me that, you know, even he calls him Jar. He said even Jar's having some health issues.
Yeah,
hey, it's just the way it goes, obviously, sometimes. But great memories, great reflections, but still so sad to, you know, to hear what he's been going through, really, for the last year.
Yeah, it's so weird to hear someone say, and listen, all program directors have different impressions. Many of them are just morons. But to hear, like, we need a regular broadcaster. Dave is the quintessential sports talk radio host because, one, you can put him in with anyone. He does not give a rat's you-know-what about going at someone. He's aggressive. He also knows just about every sport. And the other thing is, I discovered in doing radio with him, like, if you start to mine a little bit, he's got a crazy life over the years. He is a Vegas guy, and he would open up about stuff like that. He's so well-rounded as a radio host. He'd blow you away sometimes with some of his stories and his experiences back in New England and here.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It was just, you know, great lessons, you know, great stories, like you said, and it was just, you know, it was just awesome, you know, getting to know him, and the unique, you know, the uniqueness of him was just tremendous. And like you said, being well-rounded, and of course, obviously the knowledge of all sports, you know, I have most of mine's in football. I still follow all the other sports, but certainly don't follow them as closely as I do the NFL and all that. But man, he did it all. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And you know, it's funny when people would say, well, what does he do for a living? You know, was it, well, he's on radio, but he's basically a professional gambler. I mean, it's classic. It's a classic story.
Well, let me tell you, on the professional gambler thing, I don't know. I would say I would estimate less than 1%. It's probably too high. Less than 1% of sports bettors could actually do it for a living. And, you know, he did radio for fun. Dave has been a successful gambler. He sold picks, but I don't know that he needed to do that. He's an expert in that field. He's a big-time expert in terms of sports. And I'm going to mention this so many times as we talk about Dave Koch. And he's still around, folks. But Dave, and maybe he dropped the line on you like 10 years before. He had told me, because he's always cynical, he had told me when we talked about, Vegas is kind of banished on the outside. We're the bad guys. And I'm not going to do a Koch impression. But he said, you know what? As soon as the NFL finds a way to get a cut and be involved in the sports gambling, then it's all going to open up here. And he was right.
Yep, he was totally right. There's no question about it. And, you know, they fought it, as everyone knows, and they fought it in court and said how bad this would be. We can't do this. I've often joked, Steve, that they would have a rule in the NFL office. If you ever even mentioned the word, if you even said the words Las Vegas, you'd probably be fired. But then when all of a sudden, you know, they fought all the stuff going on in the States, and finally when New Jersey passed it, and all of a sudden now it's legal, and all of a sudden a lot of the other states, you know, followed suit. Well, now we have the NFL saying, okay, how can we make money on this? And then you've got, I mean, right where I am now, living in Arizona, in Phoenix, right on the premises of State Farm Stadium is a sports book, you know, right there. And who knows what it's going to be in 15, 20 years. It'll probably be like that just about everywhere.
Yeah, I was downtown Phoenix for a couple of events just 6 months ago, and you got FanDuel and DraftKings, you know, right next to each other. You walk in, you can have food. Right. It's great, connected to all the stadiums down there. We got about 3 minutes left. Important stuff to get to. It's not vital, but you know, stuff I'm interested in football-wise. You want to follow Howard up on Twitter at HBalzer721. This is great because I wanted to hit on this one. Here we go again, the talk of Kyler Murray and video games. Is there something that's developed here? What's going on now?
No.
Okay.
This was just, and I wrote about it today on a website, cardswire.usatoday.com. And I kind of, you know, it was basically Colin Cowherd on his podcast, not on his regular Fox Sports radio show. On his podcast, was trying to make this case that the video gaming for Kyler Murray, it's a huge stigma. And he even, like, quoted some lady therapist he knows that talks about how, you know, those who are addicted to gaming can, you know, ruin marriages, you know, men and all that. And I'm saying, man, this is a 2-year-old take. Yep. You know, no one said anything about that recently. And the one thing I wrote is he obviously hasn't paid attention to what Kyler Murray has done in the last 18 months coming back from the ACL injury and learning a new offense, and hasn't paid attention to what his teammates have been saying about him and how committed he is to being as good as he can be. So I said he either ignored it, he either didn't see it, or he saw it but ignored it to have faith. So this one, like I said, came out of left field, I think. And it's, you know, in some ways he's kind of right. There's many out there who still have that stigma.
Yep.
And about him. But, you know, here's the other part of it, though. When you're working however many hours a day, right? He doesn't go home. He's basically a homebody, Steve. You know, he doesn't go out clubbing. He doesn't go out here everywhere. He's not hanging out places. He's at home. So if he plays video games for 2 hours, who cares? You know, who cares? I mean, it's just pretty crazy. But now, like you said, all of a sudden it's become a story again. It'll probably go away soon. But you know, like I said, I put in my 2 cents in, you know, in the story today. But it's pretty crazy, especially with how positive things have been with everything around him, you know, during this off season as the Cardinals get ready for training camp and in about a month, and then the start of the regular season.
Howard, I appreciate it. We definitely want to get you on before football season, and especially appreciate the comments and nice words about our friend Dave Koch.
Anytime, man. Enjoy coming on with you. Take care.
There he is. Howard Balzer, legend, covering the NFL 40-plus years, HBalzer721. And again, to update, you know, if you came in on the conversation late, Dave Koken, he's still around. He sent out some social media yesterday saying he's having a, you know, kind of a rough time. It might be the end of the road. And it's been a long battle against cancer, but that was real good. Howard did a show with him early on. They pulled Dave off the air. He's not a true broadcaster. You're crazy. He's not a true broadcaster. Trust me, I will have lots of stories, and we'll have other guests on who can talk about the broadcasting acumen. The dude is a Vegas legend. Were they doing a Mount Rushmore earlier on the arena? I don't know specifically what it was about, but if it was freaking radio, Koken on Rushmore.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Paris refused to put a seat in the Olympic Village, but Team USA has other ideas. Years ago, Paris officials raised eyebrows when they announced that the rooms in the Olympic Village would not have any air conditioning and instead feature an alternative cooling system that was much more friendly on the environment. But turns out, not offering air conditioning to elite athletes who prize their sleep has backfired spectacularly.
Boy, I hadn't heard that. But we now know about it.
Outrageous.
In Paris, where... I don't know. I've never been there. Must be nice for those of you. Miles Simmons. Why am I taking? There's strays going to Miles Simmons, our Monday Football Insider. Check that. Tuesday Football Insider went to Paris or went to France recently for a wedding. That's a nice destination wedding. Did you look up the climate of Paris?
I'm actually looking at it right now.
Yeah, like average high is 78, 79, July, August. But it ain't 78, 79 here. You know what I mean? It's 78, 79 with humidity.
Yes.
No AC. Spoiled athletes! What's your counter to that one?
I don't even think that's spoiled athletes wanting AC. That's just like, what are you just supposed to sit in your room and just sweat all day, all night? Like, come on, give them AC. I know you're doing the cooling pipes and all that stuff, but it feels a lot better to feel the cold breeze on you.
On Friday, Team USA said that it would be bringing its own AC units to install in rooms. And it's not the only country to freeze Paris's green Olympic dreams. Australia, Great Britain, Canada, Greece, and maybe even China are going to supply air conditioning to their athletes.
See? Even China.
Good.
It's not going to let its athletes not be fully rested.
Good.
You need to rest.
Absolutely. And you need to rest in comfort when you're competing against the best in the world at what you're doing.
Can you imagine semifinals of the Olympic men's basketball tournament? USA loses. LeBron and Steph Curry combine for 13 turnovers and go 7 of 36 shooting. And then after the game, they're like, I got a bad night of sleep. I was sweating bees. I couldn't sleep. Do you think how many people here would be like, cry babies? Back in my day, Larry Bird, he didn't need AC. I can't wait for that storyline. But as we just found from MB Sports up on TikTok, Team USA, the officials were like, no, we're bringing AC.
As somebody who overheats very, very easily, I would have brought my own AC unit if my country didn't supply one.
You have like the old school, big box one.
Yep.
You're bringing the screws and the brackets and everything?
Well, I don't know about that.
You're bringing a little plug-in one that supposedly works. I don't know if those work.
I'm probably bringing a swamp cooler.
Well, then no one else can sleep. Like, I'm used to the sound. Get used to it.
Yeah.
They're pretty loud.
You guys don't like buzzing? Come on.
Just one of those giant box fans?
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Yeah, I can't do that. No way. And I'm not even close to professional athletes. There's no way they could do it either.
We were just talking about old school radio host in Vegas, like our friend Dave Koken, who's still here. I did shows with the Sports Pig, right? And he would heat up quickly. He was a fat guy. His favorite angle on the Olympics over the years was how much sex they have in the Olympic Village. No AC? I mean, what are we, barbarians? Can't do it.
No. That'd be a very musty room.
Yes. Musty is a good word. Musty was a word last week we used. And it will be a word we use again when Klay Thompson decides to go to a new destination. So rumors of mustiness. There's nothing when you're intimate too.
Well, there was rumors that they put special beds in the Olympic Village to deter people from having sex.
That's right. The beds were weak.
Yeah.
Not reinforced.
There's a floor. There's ways around it.
There's a floor. Look at Danny. All right.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
That was good. Right before we came back from break, I was yelling at myself. I'm sorry. The lack of focus today, Danny. My fault, man.
Unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. Danny Smyson, Griffin's running the show. A little after 5 o'clock, we're going to talk to Caleb Herring, former Rebel quarterback, voice of the Rebels, analyst, and co-host of the Barry Odom radio show. 2-1 Ecuador over at the Al, over Jamaica. 8 minutes left in regulation. We'll see what the extra time allows for. We got the draft over on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20. Not the NHL draft. That hasn't started yet at the Sphere, but the NBA draft tonight. All coming up, and we'll have some updates on what's going on in the draft, depending on when they make the first pick. I'm guessing around 5:15, 5:20. So, Aces are off right now. Las Vegas Aces. They got a little break with the Commissioner's Cup. And they needed the break, right? Get, especially Chelsea Gray, you know, a little bit of rest here. Maybe some more conditioning. They're going to come out of the gates against the Sky and Angel Reese, which I'm looking forward to. I hope it's a freaking banger. What a physical game I hope that is. Beginning of the week, Asia Wilson, her new logo for Nike came out. It's a logo that's a little bit weird looking. It could grow on me. I don't know if it's going to be instantly recognizable. She tweeted out today that she didn't enjoy the commentary from Just W Sports. So she's blocked them. Alicia Clark tweeted out, you know what, I blocked him as well. Give me the analysis, the quick analysis that they gave on this logo, these ladies.
Asia Wilson signature shoe logo. Do we like it?
It looks like a vertebrae. It looks like it should be in your spine. That literally, this is like L5 or something. Like, I am just going to throw that out there.
What is it?
She drew a star in the A of her signature, which is accentuated in her logo in an energetic and playful way.
Okay, I kind of get it. And we were asking the same question on Monday. I had some people explain it to me. That's a little explanation right there. Now, I don't think we have the part of the clip that potentially really insulted her enough to block this site and then tweet about it. Was there something mentioned about, because she had a reference in her tweet about something about ass. So what happened?
So in this video that apparently has now been taken down, but it's still, it was pulled by other people and they put it up.
I've got it up. You want to go at Steve Cofield?
One of the girls on this podcast put up a image on their phone and somebody put the SS, somebody put an S and an S, two S's next to the logo and said the logo is ass.
Okay. I mean, I'm not even going to call it childish. It's what people do. It's talk radio. It's podcast.
Yeah.
There's going to be cracking. Again, I will, no one has to take my advice and I'm not the athlete. And I don't get the attention anywhere near where these athletes get and the kind of stuff they get on social media. But I think you should. Kevin Durant still doesn't. But you should come to the realization that there's no point in punching down. And most people don't know what this handle is. If these ladies want to have a little fun and crack on your logo, who cares? But Asia Wilson apparently and Alicia Clark are mad enough that they're like, yeah, we're going to block it. And then, you know, I got to tell you, Danny, the line that got me, and I've seen this before, and I've been talking about this for a while. It's just part of the growing pains. In her tweet, Asia Wilson said, and this is coming from a site that's supposed to be for, quote, us. What does that mean? What site is for you? She's suggesting backing women's sports.
Right.
Everything is not going to be sunshine, puppy, and roses.
No, because then if that's what you want, you're not going to get actual real feedback. If everyone's just giving you positivity, even though this logo, I'm not going to say it's a terrible logo, but that doesn't look like an A with a star in it. It looks like an X.
Yeah.
I don't see where
that's their appraisal of it. And some people are not going to, people aren't going to like every person is not going to like everything you do.
No. And you can't take offense because a podcast didn't like what you made.
You can. I wouldn't blow them up and block them. Dawn Staley chimed in on this, which is weird to me. She goes, you know what? The jig is up with Just Women's Sports. I want to say more, but I'll leave it at this. Good! You're a national championship coach. People are pitching you to be an NBA coach.
And what jig?
Just W Sport. What are we doing here? But here's the thing, Danny. When you're a growing sport, and you haven't had millions of people chiming in, you don't know what that feels like. And you don't know the experience. And we knew this was coming because of Caitlin Clark. Yes, a lot of it's because of her. Because of Angel Reese. Now Asia is enjoying some of the spoils of her good play and the attention of the league getting more viewers, TV viewers, which, again, every new high on TV is set by a Caitlin Clark game. People can have this look at coverage and be like, wait, why is it not pro WNBA? And I've seen this happen before. And I used to say all the time, be careful what you wish for. And what I'm referencing is MMA and UFC. And I used to say back in the day, I was on the beat for, you know, whatever, 14 years, 2004 to like 18. And I was like, man, when the larger media covers this, it's going to be freaking wild.
Mm-hmm.
And Dana White has that same attitude, and he especially had it back then, where he would talk to MMA media people, or not talk to them, and be like, what are you doing? You're biting the hand to feed you. Like, he didn't understand that covering it means you cover it down the middle.
Right.
He's like, well, you're hurting yourself. I mean, I guess if you're going to block access, then we're hurting ourselves. But here's the thing, and this is where it's different. Dana White can do whatever he wants. And now with podcasts, he can generate whatever attention he wants. That's a whole new media world. He's good at that. And they didn't come from a traditional sports background. Like, the Fertittas and Dana were not college athletes and, you know, dealing with sports information directors and local media. And these women have come up in that system. So you're accustomed to the system only to a certain extent. And in the case of Dana White, he was not. So there's going to be some growing pains here, but as I say it almost every day, I would be thrilled with the attention and almost any of the attention you're getting. Salaries and sponsorships are going to go through the friggin' roof. And yeah, there's going to be jackasses out there, or there's going to be people that you don't like. They might not even be jackasses, but you're all going to make a lot of money.
But and just the fact that Asia started this off by saying people are going to have their opinions and then say, wait. You can't have a negative opinion,
right?
Because then I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So only tell me the good things you think.
Yeah.
But like, if she actually used the A from her signature with the little star-like feature in it, that looks awesome. But the X with whatever the thing is on the side.
I don't care what the logo looks like. I don't know if it's good or not. She could have the greatest logo ever. At least 20% of the audience would be like, sucks. That just comes with the territory. I don't like your last name. Well, why? Because Smythe. Why don't you pronounce it Smith? I don't like it. And then your attitude should be,
yeah, I don't
give
care
me the double bird
say.
And go, I'm not, you should say to me, I'm not punching down, clown. So I want to build this angle. I mentioned Dana White. He's doing some good media right now. And for a lot of the people like Shannon Sharp, they're like, I kind of knew about this guy, but he's got a lot of opinions. He's pretty brash. He's an interesting guy to cover. What do you think of this one? Because I also think, and I think J.J. Redick's going to have this, there is an attitude from some coaches and leaders and even athletes that, hey, these people commenting on me, announcing, doing radio, doing TV, they can't do what I do. How can they be an expert? And I've seen Dana White on several interviews say, Joe Rogan is great because he actually participated and trains in mixed martial arts. And he says, and he can speak, he said, can speak about it with love and passion. There's often been this conversation like, you didn't play in the NBA. Why are you talking NBA? Danny, what do you know?
Well,
do you have to play a sport at the highest level to be an expert?
I don't think so. I mean, if you put enough...
You people all say that.
If you put enough time and effort into studying the game and doing your research and all that, if you look at coaches, not every single coach played whatever league that they're coaching.
By the way, that's another great one. Or athletes who look at other people, don't know if they've played at all, then don't know what level they've played. I remember, now I'm going to screw up all the names. You know what, I'll have to reset because I'm forgetting all the names. I remember D'Angelo Williams, running back in the NFL, who was what, Panthers, Steelers, trying to crack on a crew that was on NFL Network on a panel, and he wasn't aware of who they were, and one had played Division I football as a fullback and the other one played in the NFL. I was like, and he was trying to denigrate those guys, like, I know the NFL, you guys don't, like, dude.
Yeah, you don't know everyone's background.
So I was tweeting some people today on because I really do believe Dana White, you know, thinks, and you can see the way they layer their broadcast crew, it's mostly former fighters. I really think he believes that, you know, people who haven't fought, boxed, trained in boxing, trained in jiu-jitsu would have no credentials. Which I may buy into a little bit. I think it would be neat if you, because most sports, you, like, we all do almost every sport.
Yeah, growing up.
As a kid. Yeah. Doesn't mean you were good, but you have like a basic understanding of what it's like. Boxing and MMA are kind of unique.
Yes.
I mean, I've been in a couple of fist fights on the wrong side. I have a good jaw. I found that out over the years. I've gotten punched in the face. So I know what it feels like. I've had the lights turn out. But, like, what am I going to roll? I mean, I guess I could. I have friends who do it who are my age. You know, Ed O'Neill's like 75. Donald Sterling now. He's out there rolling. You know, Anthony Bourdain did it. Like, that would be cool. But I don't know. I don't even know if he would accept that. Like, I've rolled a couple times. I don't know if he would accept it.
No, I don't think so.
No.
They want near high level high level knowledge.
Because then comes the argument, like I said, with D'Angelo Williams, like, how high a level do I have to play, right? And I've also mentioned this, like, I don't give a rat's ass about what Charles Barkley has to say about any other sport except basketball. He's a complete non-athlete, hand-eye, beyond basketball. He just is.
Yeah, a lot of it's for the comedic factor.
Right. But I think there are a lot of former professional athletes who will talk about other sports that they've never played or really don't excel at.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, well, you know, I'm J.J. Watt. I mean, I don't know. You want to J.J. Watt against
NBA film?
You want to do a home run derby? Let's see how we do. I think there's always this, you know, automatic assumption that, you know, I played this one sport. I know what I'm talking about. And the interesting thing about Dana is Dana really hasn't fought professionally. I think he can box. I think he can do jiu-jitsu. Yeah, he can do that stuff. So I don't think he's totally wrong.
No, I don't think so.
I think you probably, if you cover MMA, you probably should go out and hit some mitts, get punched in the face a few times, go get submitted, at least be in chokeholds, wrestle a little bit. It gives you a little better understanding, but interesting take by DW.